John chapter 11 this evening. Is that good, my brother? Praise the Lord. John chapter 11. I want to share a thought with you this evening that the Lord had given me that really helped me. I love questions in the Bible. You heard me say that this morning. And when God asks questions, He's looking to make a change or do something in our life. And so I want to go to John chapter 11. And see what the Lord has for us here this evening. And Brother Eugene, when I'm preaching tonight, will you pray for me as I'm preaching? I need that. Brother Adam, will you pray for me when I'm preaching? I feel like I need bathed in prayer, to be honest with you. And I've been praying, but I just like to know I got my family praying for me. And I just need some men praying for me when I'm preaching. If I know that, it helps me. And because I don't want to do this alone, you know. And just pray for me while I'm preaching. And we'll get started. That'll be good. You pray for me too, preacher man. And that'll just help me. And it's like having somebody's back. You know, when you're getting ready to fight somebody and your buddies are standing behind you, you don't matter if you get whooped because you figure they're going to rescue you. And one time, he didn't help me out, but a sister did, praise God. She kicked that guy, saved me. I was getting ready to get my teeth knocked out. And she dropped, kicked him in the gut, and maybe she broke some ribs, I hope. But he'll heal, don't worry, he'll be all right. But I was proud of her, she did a good job, and but praise the Lord. You just want somebody to take your back every once in a while, and that's how I feel this evening, and because it's not me, I just want to deliver the word that he gave to me this evening. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, and Lord, my mind is scattered right now, and I don't feel settled, and Lord, I just pray that you'd speak through me. Father, give me a clear heart and a clear mind. Give me the right words to say. I pray that I don't say anything stupid. And Lord, help me to not mess up, but to keep the thought as I preach. For this reason, Lord, I want to deliver the word that the word can have full effect in the hearts of your people here this evening. Lord, that they'd leave here saying, wow, Jesus gave me something that's going to make a difference in my life. And Lord, I want to be the instrument, the tool that you use to do that. I want that, Lord. I want to be your servant. So please help me, Lord. And I'm scared to death. So please, please be with me. Lord, let me feel your presence this evening in front of your people. In Jesus' name do I ask and pray. Amen. John chapter 11. This is a cool chapter in the Bible. We're going to read a lot of scripture considering a preaching message, but I want you to get it. So we're going to get right into the Bible. John chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And sometimes when I'm reading, I have to stop and just say, you could write that verse, you could tattoo it in your hand, because you could put your name there. Jesus loves you. There was nothing special about these three people. He just loved them. And in his ministry here on earth, he couldn't go into everybody's house because he was 100% man. He couldn't eat at everybody's table the same night. He probably only ate three meals a day like we did. These were people that were just part of his life in his ministry right now. He loved them. But can I say, listen, right now he's not in that flesh, in his spirit, because he's God. He just loves you. So you can just take that verse. Now, Jesus loved Pokey and Christine and Isaac and Madeline and McKenzie. He loves my family. You can put your name there. I just want to tell you he loves you tonight. If you're hurting, if you're broken, if you're wondering, if you just question God, he loves you. If that's all you get tonight, that'll make a big difference in your life. All right, so we'll keep going. "When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick," this Lazarus that they're talking about, "he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. You have to read 1 Peter or 1 John. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And then Jesus said, hey, stupid. Duh, right? Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Sometimes we overread what God's saying. Sometimes we just got to take him at his word, you know? Duh. Where was that word come from? That was all the way back in John chapter 11, verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them, duh, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's a little bit under 2 miles, right? An eighth of a mile short. It's not that far. Some people can run a mile and how fast? You could run there in no time. That's pretty close, right? And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Can I just remind you as we're reading this? There was an actual time, if they had a watch back then, that somebody could have looked at their watch and observed Jesus and Mary and Martha having these conversations, as sure as you see your pastor walk around and have conversations with people when he should be singing. I'll just get, right? Yeah. It's the real deal. This isn't just, you know, like some fable. This is a history book. There was a time Jesus was talking with them, and he's saying these things. Jesus said unto her, you know, it's like, you could really hear this. This was the real deal. He said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way. She called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and called for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Sometimes you got to read it like you're seeing it. I believe she was weeping. I believe she fell down because she was broken. Jesus therefore saw her weeping. And the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? I want to preach on that thought this evening. Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Behold how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of them that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. I'm going to preach on that thought this morning in verse 34, where have you laid him? We look at the beginning of the chapter in chapter 11. There's a few things I want to point out. Here we have the relationship between Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and Jesus. And the thought that I'm thinking is that these were some precious people to the Lord because of the involvement in his life. I mean, there's things that are mentioned in the Word of God where somebody's mentioned twice, once, or maybe there was an issue, or somebody like Joseph where a lot of Scripture is written about. But what makes this so unique is in this short period of ministry that Jesus Christ had here on earth, that these people are mentioned several times in his ministry. In other words, they were an intricate part in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. It wasn't that they meant more to him, it just meant that they were involved. See, I might call Brother Dennis more than I call you, but it's only because in life I have more dealings with him in the ministry. It doesn't mean I love Brother Dennis more than he loves, or more than anybody else. It's just the dealings. And that's what was going on with Jesus. They were involved in his life. Right? So here we go. We notice the special relationship, how precious they were. We see that in verse 3, they sent for Jesus to help with this situation. Because what had happened, here Lazarus is sick. And all the things that they've seen Jesus perform, all the things that they've seen him do. Here, I mean, they've got an in. They got backstage passes to Jesus, right? And Lazarus is sick, and there's a special relationship. They know it. And listen, who sends for Jesus? I mean, you got to be somebody to be like, yo, Jesus, come here. It was important to him. I mean, Lazarus is sick. And surely, as they knew that there was a difference in the relationship, maybe when he was being thronged by the people, that they never had to do that. They had a secret place that they could come and meet with him in the house. Even when the blind man followed Jesus looking for his sight, the blind boys didn't, and they followed him all the way to the house. Jesus made them chase after him before they received their sight. There was something about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that they could expect that Jesus, in this close relationship, would be there for them in their time of need. He said in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, and look, they moved on the emotions of Jesus. He whom thou lovest is sick. You know, have you ever done that with God? You want to ask for something? I do all the time. I'm not stupid. I'm like David. I start quoting God scripture. I do. And I'm like, I don't want him to forget. You know, Lord, you said, oh God, you said, right? So I start quoting scripture to God because I don't want him to forget. I know he won't, but I want to remind him. That's what they're doing. They know, they believe in Jesus. I mean, there's some things they don't understand yet, right? But for the most part, they believe that he was sent from God. They believe he's the Christ. You know, I believe that there was something there that they knew they could call on him because Lazarus is sick. And they could call on him because they'd seen the way he had worked and performed before. I mean, think about the miracles that they had seen him perform and how he would go into every town and heal all manners of sickness and diseases. Now it's just Lazarus. And he whom thou lovest is sick. Surely! This Jesus, this best friend, this guy we know that heals everybody, he's going to come. And he's not that far. He's less than 2 miles away, right? So we see how they sent for him. They were losing hope in their abilities. Here's the thing. He was sick unto death. Why did they wait so long? And they got to where, I think they did. They reached a point in their life where they said, you know what? This is a little bit out of our control. We better hurry up and get Jesus. Why? Because we're fixing to lose all hope. All abilities. Knowing Jesus could fix everything, look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Her faith was that, Lord, you know, it reached a certain point. I believe God, had you been here up to this point, it would all have been good. Verse 21, right? Look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I believe they were talking about it. I said, you know what? If Jesus could have just been here, this whole situation would be different. They had a plan and how Jesus would just come and do what Jesus does in their life. It's starting to sound familiar. I mean, sometimes there's just things in life that are happening. I'm thinking, Lord, if you'd just show up by now, this would all be good because I've seen this happen in Brother Eugene's life. And Lord, if you could do it, Brother Eugene's life, I figure we're good. But you know, it's a little bit past that. I'm not sure what's going to happen. And I had a plan that maybe God would come about now and fix this situation in my family or in my life. But it's just not working out. And sometimes I say, you know what, Lord, if you had, this would be different with me and you. Lord, if you would have just done what I thought you should have done, our relationship would be different. I'd probably be serving different. I'd be somewhere else. He says to him in verse 15, Jesus speaks of his intent for the situation, which he was very much aware of, using the words, I am glad I was not there. Listen to what he said. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. I'm thinking, what? To the intent that ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. In other words, he says, it's for your reason that I've let you go this far. You say, but God, I feel like things are out of control. Lord, it's gone too far. I don't even see any way out of this mess. Lord, look, my family's here. This is there. I don't know what's going on. Or God, I'm serving you. And, you know, we thought the ministry could do this, or we thought the church could do that. It's just out of control. And God says, I'm glad for your sakes that it's in this situation. Because so far, Mary and Martha, I guess, had figured that they could take care of it. Lazarus figured he could take care of it. And he was sick, nigh unto death. And the situation reached a point where, like, you know what? If Jesus doesn't come now, things are going to be out of control. Well, guess what ended up happening? Lazarus dies. And we're like that in our life. You know, sometimes we'll get to living, and it reaches that point where, and then all of a sudden, it's like, well, I give up, brother. Jesus never showed up. It's done. He's dead. This whole thing's over. I don't know what we're going to do. Because I've seen Jesus work like this before, but I've never seen him do anything after at this point, right? He said, I'm glad I was not there that ye may believe. In other words, Jesus has a plan. Jesus' plan was, look, I know you understand it to be one way, but I've got an idea with this whole Lazarus situation. And to be honest with you, I think I'd have been ticked at Jesus. I mean, not understanding what I know now, understanding what they would have understood. If Jesus wouldn't have showed up, I'd have been flat ticked off. Let my brother, I mean, you said you loved him, man. Here he is, he's suffering, and you're healing people. When did they take you in the house? All they ever do is they want. We got this special relationship. Lord, you said you loved us. I love you too, but man, you ticked me off, God. It's not going the way I wanted. My brother's dead. We've had arguments with God before. We get mad at God at certain things, and sometimes we say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be like that. God, forgive me. And then look, he says in verse 17, we find their situation was at a point of hopelessness and beyond desperation. Look what he says in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And then for the Jews, I mean, that was beyond the chance. I mean, they believed that within the first 3 days that there was a possibility of a resurrection, that the spirit was still within the body. It wasn't for the fact that, you know, maybe he stinks. That's not what they were trying to say was, by the fourth day, the spirit had left the body and it was done deal. He was a dead man, right? So when he comes, and he was 4 days late, what they were trying to say was, spirit's already left. There's no hope. It's hopeless. It's over. It's done. Just forget about it. Now Jesus shows up. So they are still weeping. They are still concerned, but they're at a point where they're like, yeah, God, you know, we wish you could have been here, but here's where we're at. Lazarus is dead. The situation progressed too long. It went there beyond their comprehensive abilities of Jesus. Have you been there? Preacher, I've had things in my life where his ways are higher than my ways. I just don't get it. I can't understand why I'm here. I can't understand the direction it's going in. I feel like I screwed up so bad that it's not fixable. How in the world? I've never seen Jesus work on this fashion before. But thank God, I've got enough testimony in the Word of God that I can find something in the book where he's been there before. But these folk, they didn't have this complete revelation right here. They didn't have the book. They're just going on the testimony of the few things that they had seen. They didn't ever saw Jesus in the fashion that we have. But I want you to see something. In verse 34, he asked them this question. He said, and where have you laid him? I want to preach on this thought right here. Lazarus was that situation that was hopeless and done that they had given up on. They wanted Jesus to come fix it, but they reached a point where it was done, and Jesus asked them this question. That thing that was so precious to me, that Lazarus that I loved, that Lazarus that you loved, the one that was so close, that we supped with, that we cared about, that we probably laughed around the table and had good times with, that thing that was so precious that you knew that me and you were in communion with, that you gave up on, that thing that was so precious that you gave up on, where did you lay it? Do you think Jesus knew where Lazarus was? What do you think he asked him that question for? Where is he? You know what? He's in the grave. Look what he says. He goes down there and he said in verse 34, "And where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Look at faith's request. In verse 22, well, first, let me show you. Down there he says, Jesus wept and said to the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Some of them said, "Could not this man which have opened the eyes of the blind have caused that the eyes of this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore again groaning himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay on it. So they took him there and they showed him. He said, "Lord, here's where he is." They knew where they put him. But God wanted them to show me where you put him. Let's make this situation real. But look, I'm going to just talk about faith's request. Look at verse 22. Faith's request, the faith that they had. He said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever," look what she said, "that thou wilt ask of God." Where was her faith? Where was her faith's request? What was it that she didn't think that she could ask God for, that she thought she'd had to go to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you're going to have to ask"? What was it with that? Why didn't she ask herself? Look at this. Look at verse 33. Faith's request. Verse 33, the Bible says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her," the Bible said, "he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." There was a groaning in the spirit. Look at verse 38. "Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave." Groaning within himself. What was he doing? He was praying. Faith's request. I believe at this moment right here, we can see that Jesus was asking God. I mean, she said, "Lord," right? And he said, "God." And faith's request, he was asking God, "Lord, here's what I need." And the Bible said it in this terms, that he was groaning in the spirit, which I believe was him fervently praying to God. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what I believe he was praying? "Father, you're going to let me resurrect him." Because I believe Jesus was God. He had the word. He had the power. He could have just spoke it. But in his subjection to the Father, he was saying, "Lord, what do you want? Lord, you know what I want. But Father, what do you want?" And in his willingness to be submissive to the Father, he was seeking permission. And he was praying. And I don't know what the exact words were, but I believe that he was praying. I think so, because if you look over here, and in verse 4, and we'll read 41 and 42. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.'" Well, the only mention of him saying anything was over here in these other two verses when he was groaning in the spirit. He said, "Lord, I'm glad that you heard me." Now watch this. He said in verse 42, "And I know that thou hearest me always." Praise God, right? But look, he says, "But because of the people which stand by, I said it." He was praying out loud. The Bible says they heard him groaning in the spirit. I don't know what he prayed, but I believe he was weeping. I believe he's praying it like this. "Oh God, I love you. Oh Father, I just want to serve you and I want to be with you. But Lord, my family's broken. My friends are hurting. And God, I don't know what he said." He was praying like Jesus prays. The same way he intercedes for me, he was praying for Lazarus. I believe that. And I believe that they heard him groaning. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe it caught their ears because they heard him. Right? He says, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." He was saying more. You know, he had the power of God in his life. It was this faith's request. Verse 41, he thanked him for hearing him. Faith's request. You know, when it comes to faith in our life, when we're dealing with things, I mean, there comes a time when we have to trust in ourselves to ask God. We can't be running to the preacher all the time saying, "Preacher, will you pray for my family? Preacher, pray for my son. Preacher, pray for my job. Preacher, pray for my finances. Preacher." Why don't we just have enough faith that we ask God ourselves? Why was it that Mary or Martha had to come up to Jesus and say, Lord, if thou? Why'd they have to wait for God, for Jesus to pray to God? I just wonder that. Face request. Look at this. Look at face reason, verse 33. There was a reason that we need faith. Jesus, as he's given this example of faith in this passage of Scripture, he says, look, he saw the weeping people in verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit. There's a reason to have faith. He was moved with compassion. Faith. It was the weeping of the people. Look at the willingness of the people. When he said in verse 34, and he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Faith has a reason to help people because they're weeping. But here's the thing. They're willing people. I mean, they're seeking things from God. Right? But look at this in verse 37. There were wondering people. He says, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Faith causes us to wonder. They couldn't understand, I don't understand what God's doing. But sometimes it just takes faith. Those that are weeping, they just need faith. Those that are willing, they just need faith. Those that are wondering, they just need faith. Faith just needs a reason. What's your reason? Hear all these things. That's why Jesus was praying that they might hear his prayer, that they may believe. Faith's reason. Look at verse 39. Faith also has requirements. Faith's requirements, verse 39. This is the part that gets me. Verse 39, the Bible said, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Here's the thing. He said, where'd you lay him? This thing that was so precious. We got to have faith, but I know it means something to you, whether it's something in the ministry, something with your family, something that you've been earnestly in love with God, something you're entrusted with God, and things went wrong, things didn't go right, and you didn't have the faith, and I mean, you wanted to, but you're just wondering, there's a willingness there, but you just don't understand some things, but all of a sudden, it just doesn't go the way we want, and the thing reaches a point of desperation where we say, I don't know how God's going to do it, so what do? We take Lazarus, we take our problem, and we stick it in a grave, and God says, hey, where's that thing that meant something so much to you? Where's it at? I'm asking you this evening, where's this thing that you and God had that was so precious, that you both loved so much, that you gave up on because God didn't do it in your time, that all of a sudden you said, you know what, I'm done with it. Not because you're angry with God, you feel like it's hopeless, so you take it and you put it in a grave. And then you just put it in a grave and all of a sudden you get a stone and you seal over it because you don't want anything, it's done. It's just a done issue. And the Holy Ghost comes like this and he says, so where is that grave? Where's the grave? And then so you take him to the grave and you say, you know that thing that was so precious, Lord, it's right here. Jesus is groaning that he's praying for you. He said, you know, I love that thing too. Why don't we get it out of the grave? You know that thing that was so precious to you, between you and the Lord, something you thought was going to work, somewhere you were going to go with God, something that meant so much to you that you gave up on, you put it in the grave, and God says, let's get it out of the grave. But the first thing you got to do is remove that stone. You've buried it. You've put it away. Let's get rid of that stone. There's a requirement of faith. We got to remove the stone. Look at verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You know what happened? We lost our faith. They lost their faith. See, they had faith in Jesus up to a certain point. I mean, when he was sick, and they're like, okay, he's sick. I see that. But you remember when he healed so-and-so? And remember this and remember that? Well, Jesus has been here. I know Jesus can do that. Well, remember that thing in your life? I mean, it reached this point, you're like, I can handle that. You know, Brother Polk was there before. I remember his testimony. God's been there. I know. I've seen God work like that before. Don't give up. And brother, you know, it's like, Brother Dennis has been here before in that situation. This family's been over here and I've seen God work, but this is different and I just gave up hope. All of a sudden, you know, we put it in the grave, but look, no faith. And Jesus saith unto her, you can dig it up again, but here's the problem. You remove the stone. We want to get this thing that's so precious out of the grave, but you got to believe. Believe in what? Believe in me. Believe in me. Here's what happened. They stopped believing. It's like, but God, I've never seen you do it this way before. But where's your faith that I can still do it? See, a lot of us have things like that with God that it's special. It's unique between us and God. But I've never seen it that way. But you lose faith because you're like, but God, I've never gone this far before. And he says, but where's your faith? Get it out of the grave. There's something special between you and God. Get it out of the grave. Remove the stone. Have a little bit of faith. But he's still dead. There was a time to remove the stone and a time to believe. But watch this. Verse 44. Jesus said, this is cool. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So here we are, right? We got this thing that's unique, special between us and God. We've given up on it, right? And all of a sudden, here we are tonight, and we're saying, you know what, Lord, I buried it. I put it away because I didn't have faith. And Lord, here you are, and you're saying that if I just believe, Lord, what do I got to do? The Lord says, well, you're going to take part in this. I'll resurrect him, but you're going to remove the stone. In other words, we're going to do this together. Yeah, God, we're going to do this together. So I go to that place. I take Jesus to the place that I got rid of this thing that me and him were going to do for a while. I know you all have these things in your life. You've put them away. It's time to go back to the grave. Where was it at? Show God where you put away this thing that was so precious. And right, and you go there and Jesus says, now you removed a stone and you have faith in me and let me perform my work. And watch this. And then he says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, watch, loose him and let him go. Here's the problem. Part of the reason he's in the grave is not only did we just give up on God, but we've restricted God's abilities. You know what I mean? Here's what I wondered. If they really believed in the resurrection, why was he in the grave to begin with? Why wasn't he still sitting at home saying, well, Jesus just didn't get here yet? This thing that you got going on with God, why isn't it just sitting there waiting on God? Because you've lost faith. And then you take it, you say, you know what, I'm done with it. And you start binding it up. Well, he ain't going to breathe. And he ain't going to walk. And he ain't going to move. And they bind him up and they put him in a tomb and then they seal it and say, we're done with it. And you know what, God's not going to be able to do anything with that thing either. And Jesus says, look, move the stone. Have faith and believe. And take the stinking binds off the thing. Let him walk. Let him move. Let him breathe. But we want to restrict God and limit him in his abilities. You know, it's like, okay, God, I'll, this thing that's so sweet, this thing that's so precious, I'll let you dig it up. But I'm gonna keep the restrictions on it. And he says, now you got to loose it. If we're going to do this thing, if we're going to go back to the grave where you put that thing that was so precious between me and you, and we're going to resurrect it, we're going to drag it out, we're going to set it free. We're going to go wide open. We expect this thing to walk. We expect this thing to sing. We expect this thing to do whatever it was able to do prior to the grave. We're going to go back before we were even sick. Why? Because it's all him. All for this verse right here. In verse 4, he said, when Jesus heard that this sickness was not unto death, see, it wasn't about the death, but unto the glory of God. And then you look down here at verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Do you ever think that maybe when you're trying to do this thing with God and it just didn't work and all your abilities were exhausted, instead of you just sitting there and waiting on God and having faith in God, you gave up, you throw it in a grave, wrap it up, put a stone on it, say, I'm done with it then, God, because you didn't come when I said, you know what, and I was going to serve, I was going to do the blessed ministry, I was in love with you, God, I was going to do all these things, and I ain't doing it no more because you didn't show up. Now I don't see how it's going to work, right? And he said, you know what? Duh. I wanted it to reach a point where you could trust in me a little bit. You were doing this whole thing on your own. I just wanted you to reach a little bit of desperation where you'd call my name and say, hey, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm looking for you to do something. I don't know how you're going to do this bus ministry. I don't know how you're going to do the music ministry. I don't know how you're going to help me teach Sunday school. Lord, I wanted to teach Sunday school so bad, but I've got rid of that out of my mind. I wanted to be a soul winner. Lord, I just wanted to be a prayer warrior. Lord, I just wanted to do something for you. Lord, my family, I just wanted it to be a godly family. And this happened, and this happened. And instead of just waiting on you, I just gave up on God, quit on church. I quit reading my Bible. I quit praying. And you know what, Lord? I just want to get back. He said, why did you give up on me in the first place? Amen, preacher. He said, if you'd have just, I did it unto the glory of God. Because when it was finished, I just wanted you to say, you know what? There's only one way this thing happened. This wasn't unto death. This was unto the glory of God. And had they waited on God, they would have seen that, I believe Jesus would have walked in the room and said, hey, Lazarus, get up. They took it to a whole other level. They put him in the grave, bound him up, put a stone on it, said, hey, you know, if you'd have been here. They started limiting their God. They were limiting God. Preacher, we limit God. Where have you laid him? What is it that's precious in your life? Where you laid it? Don't you want to resurrect it? Wouldn't you like to take that thing that you thought you and God were going to go far with? Say, you know what, Lord? Really? Say, yeah, man. Where'd you lay it? Where'd you lay that thing? Say, Lord, I know where I laid it. I'm afraid to go back there. Lord, it's been 4 days. It's been a long time, God. Remove that stone. Believe. Unbind that thing. Hey, Lazarus come out of there. He come out of there like this. I bet he was wanting to talk, right? And I was thinking, man, I must have been dead because they wrapped me up. And they took them that napkin off his face, and he was probably like, whew, man, this feels good. Well, I was in the grave. You know, I wonder what he was thinking. But I bet you he felt good. I bet you they were loving life. I bet you they were loving the fact that Jesus showed himself in a different way. Faith results. Look at 45 and 46. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Many believed. Here's the thing. When they went to the grave and they allowed that thing to happen, they took Jesus there and he wrecked. You know what the result was? Many believed. He received the glory. Many believed. But here's the problem. Although many believed, faith results. Look at verse 45. Many believed because they saw what Jesus did. But in 46 it said, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Some of them. There's going to be some of you. You ain't going back to the grave. You'll sit back and watch somebody else. You'll tell somebody else, oh yeah. But it ain't going to have an impact in your life. But many people, preacher, they're going to believe. There's going to be a difference. Faith makes a difference. Faith has a request of asking God. But it's got a reason. Because we're hopeless. He just needs some willingness in his people. He needs to see his people weeping because they care. People that don't understand. Faith has to have a reason. That's faith's reason. Faith has requirements. We've got to work. We've got to be a part of allowing God to work. And faith will have a result. Many people will believe. Let me ask you this. Preacher, you come. Pastor, come. Somebody who's singing. Where's your faith laying? Where's that tomb? Look. Why is the grave sealed up? Why did you seal it? Did you not expect Jesus to be able to help you in the thing? Did you consider it a done deal? Do you not think that he can resurrect? Let me ask you this too. What's the result of your faith? Are people walking away saying, meh? Or are people walking away saying, wow. Because you believed, I believe. Where'd you lay him? Where's the grave, preacher?